Earth, sky.
We have a pretty rich and robust toolbox in chemistry. It's very opportunistic in many ways at this time in the development of the field to apply those tools to address problems of importance to society.
You're listening to materials scientist Joseph DeSimone, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. DeSimone is a chemist and inventor. He holds over 115 patents, ranging from an eco-friendly way to make high-tech polymers, such as Teflon and Gore-Tex, to a bio-friendly heart stent, to using the manufacturing tools of the computer industry to make new vaccines and therapeutics. He spoke more about the process of science and about what it's like to discover things and make things with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Dr. DeSimone, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Now, your research spans a broad range of science, medicine, technology, chemistry, material science. How would you describe what you do?
We lie at the interface of a lot of different things, and I think at one level we're problem solvers, another level we're entrepreneurs. And at the end of the day, we're material scientists. We like to apply the capabilities of polymer science and new polymer chemistries to tackle problems that range mostly today in life sciences, but as well in some areas of colloids and material sciences.
I'd like to talk a little bit about one of your first breakthroughs, and that's in creating an environmentally friendly way to make high-performance plastics. These polymers you were talking about earlier. In this case, the plastic is Teflon. Tell us about what guided your research to be able to make this breakthrough.
When I was an undergraduate at Ursinus College in Pennsylvania, I fell in love with polymer chemistry, and we had some terrific teachers at Ursinus, and I really became enamored with polymers, and I decided to go to graduate school and major in polymer science and polymer chemistry at Virginia Tech. And when I was there, my PhD advisor, Jim McGrath, a terrific, terrific researcher and scientist and professor, he exposed me not only to polymer synthesis, that is how to make macromolecules, but we also got exposed to an emerging area at the time called supercritical fluid extraction. And this is basically compressed carbon dioxide. And it was being used in the food industry for extracting caffeine from coffee beans and so-called naturally decaffeinated coffee with nature's effervescence. And so we started fractionating polymers using supercritical fluids. And I thought, as I moved into my academic career, that wouldn't it be interesting to combine polymer synthesis with this supercritical fluid extraction process? And that became the foundation for how I launched my career. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that, as the business people will say, strategy is all about being different. And some of the most fertile ground for innovation lies between fields. So it really drove from that interface and then recognizing, you know, just why CO2 is useful in food processing, because it is natural, that it would be a green manufacturing process if, in fact, we could make polymers in CO2. And through a partnership with DuPont, we began making Teflon in CO2. And we pioneered that. And it was valuable and perceived to be valuable at that time, especially because DuPont was being hammered because of the environmentally unfriendly way that Teflon was being made at the time. And that this new method of using CO2 became a much more environmentally preferable way to make Teflon. And so that really launched us into a good run of about 15 years or so working in CO2 and doing a lot of different polymer chemistry in it.
Will you speak to the process of making things, something that you're very good at from what I understand? Two examples, the bioabsorbable stents, and also something that you're working on nowadays as well, these incredibly small and precise templates to deliver new medicines inside the body. Talk a little bit about this process of how making things can lead to innovation. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so the stent one was a terrific example and a terrific opportunity and experience. I met a man named Richard Stack, who is an interventional cardiologist at Duke University. He had shared with me this idea of having a bioabsorbable stent. He needed the polymer support and technology to help pull this off. And the challenge is daunting. I mean, most stents are metal. But, you know, sort of you look back and you realize that before there were stents, it was just angioplasty, just opening up a blood vessel. And most people did okay with that, but sometimes those blood vessels would collapse and they needed to be propped open. And so a stent made a lot of sense. But why have a permanent prosthetic to a temporary healing issue? And that was the premise, and that was Richard's idea. And so we worked closely with him and developed a polymer-based stent that had the requisite mechanical properties to be balloon deployed and act like a metal stent, and then would provide mechanical support, but eventually would dissolve or degrade just like a bioabsorbable suture would. And then after a couple years, it's gone. So it's pretty exciting to see it go from, you know, basic concepts in less than a decade into many, many people. And now what we're doing is bridging two other areas. So actually back in my PhD work at Virginia Tech, I got exposed to a technology called lithography. And lithography is a basis by which polymers are used to make patterns on silicon wafers to make circuits, transistors. And it's the backbone of the semiconductor industry. And what we're doing now is that we're harnessing the manufacturing techniques of the computer industry and applying those techniques to make new vaccines and medicine. And so we're basically making particles, delivery vehicles, that are extremely uniform. They have all the precision and uniformity of transistors, and applying that to making particles. And so now we have a platform we call PRINT, Particle Replication and Non-Wetting Templates. It's a particle molding technology, and to make particles of controlled size and shape. And then we bring our chemical acumen and capabilities to design new chemistry such that we can make particles that are highly functional to do things that we want them to do. Deliver nucleic acids, deliver chemotherapy agents, seek out certain types of cells versus other cells. And so we're using, you know, these details of size, shape, chemistry, and elasticity to enhance the performance of vaccines and medicines.
You've been listening to Joseph DeSimone, the Chancellor's Eminent Professor of Chemistry at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and the William R. Keenan Jr., Distinguished Professor of Chemical Engineering at North Carolina State University. This Earth Sky podcast is part of the Thanks to Chemistry series produced in cooperation with the Chemical Heritage Foundation. Generous sponsorship support was provided by the BASF Corporation. Additional production support was provided by the Camille and Henry Dreyfus Foundation, DuPont, and ExxonMobil. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.